Chapter 79. My dear Traddles! I quickly exclaimed. What are you talking about? Traddles looked at me, as if he wondered what I was talking about. Mr. and Mrs. Micawber. I repeated. Why, I am intimately acquainted with them. An opportune double knock at the door, which I knew well from old experience in Windsor Terrace, and which nobody but Mr. Micawber could ever have knocked at that door, resolved any doubt in my mind as to their being my old friends. I begged Traddles to ask his landlord to walk up. Traddles accordingly did so, over the banister, and Mr. Micawber, not a bit, changed his tights, his stick, his shirt collar, and his eyeglass, all the same as ever, came into the room with a genteel and youthful air. I beg your pardon, Mr. Traddles, said Mr. Micawber, with the old roll in his voice, as he checked himself in humming a soft tune. I was not aware that there was any individual, alien to this tenement, in your sanctum. Mr. Micawber slightly bowed to me, and pulled up his shirt collar. How do you do, Mr. Micawber? Said one. Sir, said Mr. Micawber, you are exceedingly obliging. I am in statu quo. And Mrs. Micawber? I pursued. Sir, said Mr. Micawber, she is also, thank God, in statu quo. And the children, Mr. Micawber? Sir, said Mr. Micawber, I rejoice to reply that they are, likewise, in the enjoyment of salubrity. All this time, Mr. Micawber had not known me in the least, though he had stood face to face with me. But now, seeing me smile, he examined my features with more attention, fell back, cried, "Is it possible? Have I the pleasure of again beholding Copperfield?" And shook me by both hands with the utmost fervor. "Good heaven, Mr. Traddles!" said Mr. Micawber, "to think that I should find you acquainted with the friend of my youth, the companion of earlier days. My dear," calling over the banisters to Mrs. Micawber, while Traddles looked with reason, not a little amazed at this description of me. "Here is a gentleman in Mr. Traddles' apartment, whom he wishes to have the pleasure of presenting to you, my love." Mr. Micawber immediately reappeared, and shook hands with me again. "And how is our good friend the doctor, Copperfield?" said Mr. Micawber, "and all the circle at Canterbury?" "I have none, but good accounts of them," said one. "I am most delighted to hear it," said Mr. Micawber. "It was at Canterbury where we last met. Within the shadow, I may figuratively say, of that religious edifice immortalized by Chaucer, which was anciently the resort of pilgrims from the remotest corners of," in short, said Mr. Micawber, "in the immediate neighborhood of the cathedral." I replied that it was. Mr. Micawber continued talking as volubly as he could, but not, I thought, without showing, by some marks of concern in his countenance, that he was sensible of sounds in the next room, as of Mrs. Micawber washing her hands, and hurriedly opening and shutting drawers that were uneasy in their action. "You find us, Copperfield," said Mr. Micawber, "with one eye on Traddles, at present established, on what may be designated as a small and unassuming scale. But, you are aware that I have, in the course of my career, surmounted difficulties, and conquered obstacles. You are no stranger to the fact, that there have been periods of my life, when it has been requisite, that I should pause, until certain expected events should turn up, when it has been necessary, that I should fall back, before making what I trust I shall not be accused of presumption in terming a spring. The present is one of those momentous stages in the life of man. You find me, fallen back, for a spring, and I have every reason to believe that a vigorous leap will shortly be the result. Apostrophe, I was expressing my satisfaction when Mrs. Micawber came in, a little more slatternly than she used to be, or so she seemed now, to my unaccustomed eyes, but still with some preparation of herself for company, and with a pair of brown gloves on. My dear, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, leading her towards me, here is a gentleman of the name of Copperfield, who wishes to renew his acquaintance with you. Apostrophe, it would have been better, as it turned out, to have led gently up to this announcement, for Mrs. Micawber, being in a delicate state of health, was overcome by it, and was taken so unwell, that Mr. Micawber was obliged, in great trepidation, to run down to the water butt in the backyard, and draw a basinful, to lave her brow with. She presently revived, however, and was really pleased to see me. We had half an hour's talk, all together, and I asked her about the twins, who, she said, were grown great creatures, and after Master and Miss Micawber, whom she described as absolute giants, but they were not produced on that occasion. Mr. Micawber was very anxious that I should stay to dinner. I should not have been averse to do so, but that I imagined I detected trouble and calculation relative to the extent of the cold meat in Mrs. Micawber's eye. I therefore pleaded another engagement, and observing that Mrs. Micawber's spirits were immediately lightened, I resisted all persuasion to forego it. But I told Traddles, and Mr. and Mrs. Micawber, that before I could think of leaving, they must appoint a day when they would come, and dine with me. The occupations to which Traddles stood pledged, rendered it necessary to fix a somewhat distant one. But an appointment was made for the purpose, that suited us all, and then I took my leave. Mr. Micawber, under pretense of showing me a nearer way than that by which I had come, accompanied me to the corner of the street. Being anxious, he explained to me, to say a few words to an old friend, in confidence. My dear Copperfield, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, I need hardly tell you that to have beneath our roof, under existing circumstances, a mind like that which gleams, if I may be allowed the expression which gleams in your friend Traddles, is an unspeakable comfort. With a washerwoman, who exposes hard bake for sale in her parlor window, dwelling next door, and a Bow Street officer residing over the way, you may imagine that his society is a source of consolation to myself, and to Mrs. Micawber. I am at present, my dear Copperfield, engaged in the sale of corn upon commission. It is not an avocation of a remunerative description, in other words, it does not pay, and some temporary embarrassments of a pecuniary nature have been the consequence. I am, however, delighted to add that I have now an immediate prospect of something turning up. I am not at liberty to say in what direction, which I trust will enable me to provide, permanently, both for myself and for your friend Traddles, in whom I have an unaffected interest. You may, perhaps, be prepared to hear that Mrs. Micawber is in a state of health which renders it not wholly improbable that an addition may be ultimately made to those pledges of affection which, in short, to the infantine group. Mrs. Micawber's family have been so good as to express their dissatisfaction at this state of things. I have merely to observe that I am not aware that it is any business of theirs, and that I repel that exhibition of feeling with scorn and with defiance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Micawber then shook hands with me again and left me. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.